All right. So real briefly, in determining whether or not an agreement creates a covenant running with the land, a bankruptcy court is going to look at the law of the state where the asset, the oil and gas leases, the midstream system is located. And by and large, these elements are going to be the same from state to state. There are some key differences. We're not going to get into those differences today. What I've got up on the screen are the elements under Texas law and to form a covenant running with the land. And that's a, you know, one, intent, the parties intended that the agreement or the dedication, in fact, created covenant running with the land. Secondly, in a situation where you have successors to the original contracting parties, the successor has to have notice of the covenant. Third, you have to have a writing that's sufficient to satisfy the statute of frauds with respect to the description of the real property interest. And then really the key elements that most of the litigation focuses on, which is touch and concern, the impact that the covenant has on the use, value, enjoyment of the burden real property, privity of estate, which encompasses vertical privity in situations where you have successors to the original contract, and horizontal privity. The traditional construct there is that the covenant at issue needs to be created in conjunction with a conveyance of at least a portion of the real property at issue that's burdened by the covenant. So those are the elements under Texas law. And interestingly, you know, prior to Southland Extraction and Chesapeake, the focus was almost exclusively on touch and concern and privity of estate. Intent was something that was largely satisfied with a perfunctory statement that the parties intended the covenant to intended the contract to create a covenant running with the land. But in Southland and Extraction, we saw the courts kind of take a closer look at the intent issue and really scrutinize the language of the agreements and said, look, you know, what these agreements provide for is that they provide that the dedication itself is intended to be a covenant running of the land, but not the entirety of the agreement. And so on that basis, the courts in Extraction and Southland concluded that you don't even need to reach the touch and concern and privity of estate elements, which are the most tricky and most important, but you didn't even get to intent. You know, and I think that that's going to be a trend that's going to continue. I think that we're going to continue to see the focus on intent, but the key elements are still going to be touch and concern and privity. In the context of a midstream agreement, touch and concern poses the following question, and that's does the dedication, the covenant, impact the producer's use, value, and enjoyment of its leasehold estate? And the answer to that question is going to differ materially depending upon whether or not the court is employing the upstream approach that Philip's going to talk about here in a little bit, or the midstream approach, which I'm going to cover during my presentation. Same situation with horizontal privity. You know, courts assess whether the dedication is created in conjunction with a conveyance of at least a portion of the property burdened by the covenant. In the cases we're talking about, the property at issue, of course, is the producer's leasehold estate. And again, you're going to see a major distinction on the treatment of privity depending upon whether or not the court is employing the midstream approach or the upstream approach. Okay, we can go to the next slide. Thank you. All right. So the first opinion that we're going to talk to y'all about today briefly is the In Re Badlands opinion. This is a 2019 opinion from the bankruptcy court for the District of Colorado. This was the first post-Sabine opinion. It took almost four years to get from Sabine to Badlands. And this opinion was the first one to employ the midstream approach. In Badlands, the court came down in favor of Monarch, the midstream party, and determined that the two agreements at issue, a gathering agreement and a saltwater disposal agreement, were in fact covenants running with the land. And because they were covenants running with the land, they were not executory contracts and they could not be shed through the restructuring process. And in assessing touch and concern, you know, I think we saw the beginning of the midstream approach and the court in Badlands really recognizing that the vital role that these agreements play in allowing the producer to use its oil and gas leases for their intended purpose, which is, of course, the production of hydrocarbons from those leases.